Accession number 31430, Mr. Leslie Higgins, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Higgins?
22nd of August, 1934. And the town I was born in is Ilford, which is Essex.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background? You know, the sort of family you're from, what your parents did for a living, that kind of thing.
Well, Mum and Dad and two brothers. Three of us, that's five altogether. We were quite poor. Dad had a job at the cello factory in Ilford, which was something to do with filmmaking. And I know he used to work in a cafe of evenings and weekends to make money. But never rich. We were born, I was born in Roding Street, which is now where Sainsbury's, the big superstore, is. And we were born, my younger brother and I, there. We had the basement kitchen downstairs underneath the floor, because we could look up through the grill and see people walking past outside. And when we went to bed, we had to go upstairs past two or three offices and had the bedrooms on the top floor, which was quite a strange way to go to bed. But we did notice one day that they'd had a robbery, and we were going to bed when the policemen were all there sorting out who had stolen what, which was strange. And we used to overlook Ilford Broadway, where the Hippodrome was then, Ilford Hippodrome, and my dad used to do something in there overnights as well. And that was the first time I ever saw an elephant, was walking down Ilford High Road doing the elephant's exercise from the circus that was there. That was great.
Did your mum work?
No, mum never worked, bless her. She was one of these mums who looked after children. And that was her sort of love prerogative, do they call it? She didn't go to work.
So the family's quite hard up, but how many in the family? There were
five of us all together, mum, dad and the three boys.
Now, do you remember the outbreak of war? You'd only be about five, but you were five.
I just started school, because I was five in August, just started school, and we went to Uphall Road School in right down the back of Ilford, near to Barking, and I think I started and then came home one day, and the next day I remember going to the railway station wearing a new Mac, never had a raincoat before, and carrying a straw bag with cheese and watercress sandwich, I'd never forget that, and a bottle of water. We thought we were going on a picnic, but we were in fact being evacuated.
Was that all of you, or just you?
Just my oldest brother, Dennis. He's 4 years older than me. Jim is 4 years younger, so we're a 4 year break between us. I was with Dennis, and we went.
And the whole school went, did it?
The whole school went, yeah. And we went by train. I don't know where from. They do say from Waterloo, but I'm not sure. But we finished up in a place called Uffercombe in Devon.
Uffercombe?
Uffercombe, yeah. UFF. ERCOMBE, as far as I remember.
And what do you remember of the journey?
Well, for us it was an adventure. You know, I mean, we were looking out the window, seeing things that we'd never seen before. And until I got to Devon, I never knew what a cow was. I'd never been to school then, so I'd not learned about animals as such. And we started to see cows as we were arriving there.
Now, what was your reception like? You know, you all arrive. I don't know how many.
Oh, there's about 40 or 50 of us, and we went into what I imagine was a large school hall, dining room, stage, etc. in there. And all I know is that my brother and I, Dennis, we sat there almost all of the rest of the day, and we sat there right up until late at night. People were coming in and taking children, but they didn't take us. And it was some old lady called Mrs. Drew, dear old lady. She came in and she wanted to take my oldest brother and not me, but he insisted that she take both of us. And she did take both of us, and we went outside and we got into a car. We'd never ever been in a car before, you know, so we thought we were being looked after quite royally, you know. And and we finished up in her house, and she showed us where we had to sleep and gave us a meal, and we looked out the bedroom late at night and scared out of our lights because it overlooked a graveyard and the gravestones were right up against the side of the house, so we didn't particularly like that. But
how big was the house compared to what you used to, and how comfortable?
Quite big, you know, we had a massive fireplace where you sat with chairs like seats underneath the chimney, so when you wanted to get warm you walked into the fireplace and you could look up the chimney, see the smoke going up outside. It was like a servant's kind
now,
of kitchen.
How did she treat you?
Not bad. I mean, she did look after us, but there was definitely she was countrywoman and we were townies, as they younger people called us later on, you know. But after about 3 or 4 months, Dennis was moved to a farm.
Now, hang on. So, was it just her? Was she just a woman?
And no husband. No, she was a widow.
And was she kind, you know, if you see what I mean?
She was kind to a certain extent, but she was very, very firm in what you did. We had to pump every evening water with a hand pump that drew it probably from a well somewhere up into a saving unit inside somewhere. We had to do 100 pumps each, I think, something of that sort, which I didn't like. I was hardly barely learnt to count anyway, you know, so it was difficult for me. But it was difficult when Dennis was moved.
Now, did you go to school when you first arrived, before Dennis moved?
Yeah. Yeah, we started a school in Uffercombe.
Now, how did that work? Did you share the school, or did you have your school in the mornings, afternoons, or did you just all join in with the locals?
We were all together, and this is where we began to find out that we were called townies and weren't particularly liked by the locals anyway, you know, because they probably thought we were taking something away from them. There were a lot of fights.
How did it show itself?
Pardon?
I mean, what kind of... How would a fight develop?
Oh, calling names, poking the fingers, you know, and I wouldn't say swearing. I don't think we did swear in those days, you know. But generally just bickering amongst the older boys rather than the young ones. But older ones used to pick on the young ones, i.e. me.
Who do you think provoked it, the locals or you? Or your lads?
I think the locals started it. But very, very more often than not, it was the townies that finished it, because they were more used to having a punch up than the locals.
Now, how did you do at school? What's your memory of the school?
Well, there, or generally?
That one, you know, because that's really
well,
your first...
Well, we just started, and because being an infant then, everything was brand new for me. You know, I'd never been to school no more than about a couple of weeks, you know, up in London.
Now, what about homesickness? Did you get, you know...
Oh, I was with Mrs. Drew for a few months, and then I was moved to another family.
Hey, were you homesick with Mrs. Drew then?
Yeah, I didn't...
How bad was it?
Bad enough to want to run away.
Did you run away?
No, too frightened to... Too afraid, but I didn't run away. But after my first year, I think I was moved probably about 4 times. Said I was unruly, but I think just 5-year-old away from his mum and dad, and I think it was just a little bit too much for me.
Now, your brother went. Your brother went after a couple of months.
Yeah, after about 3 months, he was moved to a farm.
And how was it when he'd gone?
Oh, terrible.
Why?
Very, very lonely.
So it got worse?
Oh, for me, yeah. This is what made me like I was, you know. I just couldn't get on with anybody.
Now, when were you moved? After a year, you say?
I was moved probably 4 times in the next 8 or 9 months.
All round Uffercombe?
All round Uffercombe and, all in that area.
And... tell us how you were treated at these, at the various billets.
Well, you know, as a child, I suppose we were all right, but you were always at the seemingly, I think, at the end of the queue all the time. You always seem to be last, you know. And I know that my mum once sent me a new pair of shoes, which I never got. And I know that one of the other children in the family that was a local child was wearing my shoes. That's upset me a lot. Upset me a lot. But this is what it was. I was young, didn't want to go away, wanted to stay at home.
Were they actually cruel, any of them, or more just a bit?
They didn't hit us. I will say that. I was never struck by any of them. Just told to go to bed without supper and that sort of thing, you know. Which my mum would have done probably as well if I'd have cheeked her.
But none of them were that kind?
They weren't like aunts and uncles. They were definitely different families altogether.
Now, you say you acted up a bit. How would you act up?
Well, you know, there's all sorts of things.
When the others
were outside, I'd lock the door so they couldn't get in. And I know one day I took newspapers and there was a flue in the, they call it a flue, I think, in the kitchen to the chimney. And I stuffed that full of paper. I don't know why I did it. I just stuffed it full of paper. And because when they went to light, they used to go to church Sunday morning. When they went to church, they used to light the oven up so it all cooked the dinner while they were at church. And because when they come back, because the flue was blocked with paper, it wouldn't burn. So the dinner wasn't cooked. And I never owned up to doing that. I couldn't own up to that. But they're the sort of thing. Another time they were going to slaughter two pigs that they had. One of the people had in the garden, you know, they were going to slaughter them the next day. So the night before, I went out in the dead of night and unlocked all the locks and let the pigs out. And they found them, you know, about 4 miles away from where they lived. They brought them back, they killed them eventually, you know, put them in salt barrels and that, which, you know, I didn't think the pigs deserved to die.
But it wasn't that serious, it's just minor.
Yeah, childish. Thoughtless things to do and no reason for it other than I felt it was the right thing to do, you know.
How do you take the countryside? You were a bit new to it, but what did you think of it? Did you like it or start liking it, or did you always dislike it?
I think I liked it. I think I liked it from the point of view that the animals that were there were all new. Everything was new, you know. And I think I found something nice to be able to be among them, you know. As I say, eventually, after the first year, my mother came and brought us back home again.
Now, tell us about that.
Well, she arrived on the train, bless her heart. She came down and said, I'm taking you home. And we packed my little bag and we journeyed back to London. But we got back late at night and we were on one of the underground stations when we were told that we wouldn't be able to go on any further. And we'd have to stay there overnight because of the air raids. So we slept on one of the underground stations. Now, I don't know whether it was the bank, Chancery Lane or Liverpool Street. There, I was really too young to know where it was.
Well, you'd still only be six or so.
Yeah, just about 6 years old. And all I can remember is a family all shoving up one side and letting us have a half a mattress for my mum and I and sharing the cup of tea and things like that, and biscuits.
Was it a nice atmosphere or was it down scary down?
No, it was an adventure on its own, you know. All night laying under the underground expecting the train to come, you know. They didn't arrive. And then early hours of the morning, people started to get up and leave and we were left on the platform and eventually a train arrived and went to probably Liverpool Street, I would think, and finished up back in Ilford.
Back in the same house? They moved?
No, we'd moved then. We moved to Hunter Road.
Now, this is still, whenabouts in 1940, had the bombing started then?
The bombings were on then, yeah.
Do you know what month it was? I doubt if you do.
No, it would be probably about September, October of 40-ish. I know I came back and I always said to my mum, you brought me back to watch the Battle of Britain, which was then gradually beginning, you know, the Battle of Britain.
Do you mean the Battle of Britain, the air, or do you mean the bombing?
The bombing and the air. So I was back for that. But it was
Now, where did you go to school when you got back?
Went to... where did I go to? Well, we came back to Hunter Road. I started at Apple Road where I'd originally gone. And there wasn't an awful lot of children there. There were still some, but they hadn't gone away. And my young brother was... he wasn't at school then. He was still a baby. We went there for a little while, but when the bombing was on, we used to... we had a AK-AT gun that used to run up and down, a Beaufort, I think it was, used to run up and down Apple Road. And it used to stop outside our house where Mum used to make the tea for the gun crew. And they used to give us corned beef and cake and butter and stuff, you know. And she looked after them. But the only trouble was when the raid came, they used to have to go back to work. And because all the house used to jump when their pom-pom was going, shake everything in the house and the Welsh dresser and everything. And then the air raid would finish and the gun crew would move off. And I can remember the Barkin Park, which wasn't far from us, had dozens and dozens of anti-aircraft guns there. Because we used to come outside during an air raid and watch these searchlights, crossbeam a plane and try and see it being shut down. Which was exciting. I mean, most of it was exciting. And
now tell me a bit about the air raid precautions. What about the blackout?
How did your parents? Mum had curtains over every door, and we had a curtain inside the door, which you went inside and opened the front door, and if anyone came in, they came inside, you shut the door, and then you opened the curtain and went inside. And because always the warden out there, you know, used to come down the road, turn that light off. From outside.
He really did that,
though. Yeah, they did shout that, turn that light. Or they'd knock at the door and say, you've got to crack a light showing in that area.
Were you ever outside in a blackout? I mean, I know you were only young, you'd probably...
I can remember seeing cars with little crosses on the lights, just a little tiny cross that showed where the cars were. And I can remember the... bombs falling, and what we used to do as kids.
Hang on, we'll come to that, but definitely. Now, what about your air raid shelter? Did you have Anderson or a Morrison?
We had one at the back of the garden.
Now, tell me about the Anderson. What was it like? Who put it in? What was it like?
Well, that one there, that's the iron one in the ground, isn't it? That one was already there when we moved there. But before we moved, I know my dad had to dig a hole in the ground and put these arches things together. But I know he dug the ground one day, went out the next day to do it, and it was full of water. Absolutely. And we spent all day bailing the blooming water out. So eventually he put duck boards down, like they had in the 1418 war, you know, put them down. And we slept down there. But I mean, you went down there overnight, and if you got up in the morning, you didn't know if your house was going to be there when you got up.
And what was it like in there? What did you have, furniture at all? I mean,
we had bunk beds on, like, four of them. Because I remember Dad was there when he dug the trench and all that. But when I came back to Hunter Road from the country, Dad wasn't there. He'd gone. He'd been called up, so I never saw him there. But down there we had Hunter Road. We were reasonably well off. Whoever had done that trench had done concrete in the bottom and
it was dry
up the side. Quite nice.
And what was it like in there when there was a raid? I mean, you know, because people can't imagine that.
Well, it was always at the back of the mind was if you were going to get bombed, would the ironwork and everything stand? Would it flatten out? Would you get killed or whatever? I don't know whether people did get killed in them. I suppose they did. But we were lucky in that respect. And we had another one indoors in the corner of the front bedroom.
A Morrison.
Morrison.
The indoor
one. That was
one.
Named after a minister, wasn't it? I tried to remember this for the children down the road the other day. And I just couldn't. One of the children told me. And I said, yeah, oh, that's right. Just testing you. But that's a different story. But those ones were, if it was a... air raid. So what happened near where we were in Hunter Road was a Howard's, a big factory where we knew they were trying to hit with the bombs. They used to sound an alarm.
What did it sound like?
Bells, very, very loud ringing bells. And we knew long before the sirens were going to go that there was going to be a raid, because they got all the staff into the air raid shelters. So as soon as that bell went, we went down the shelter.
And what was it like in a shelter, when it was on, when a raid was on? What could you hear, feel, smell, or anything?
Well, everything was, if they were bombing, if there was any bombs around, everything became dusty and musty smell. And as was, I think, the smell all the time, it was like all new earth. You know, when you dig a garden, you get that strong, rich, new earth smell. I think really everything sounded a degree lower. A bomb going off wasn't quite the same. It was slightly muffled. So you might think it was sort of two streets away. But in actual fact, when you came out of your shelter, it was only three or four doors away, you know. And you wouldn't have known that until you actually looked at your house and see windows damaged.
Were you scared in the shelter?
Well, I don't think I ever was scared. Not really. I think, at that age, getting on sort of towards the middle of the war, or towards the 1940s, well, it's beginning to grow up quickly, I think. And I think it was always a slight adventure, going down the shelter, coming back up again, and going out the next morning. With one thing we used to love doing was going around picking up shrapnel and swapping at school, you know, where you'd get a firebomb, you know.
Incendiary.
And you may be lucky enough to find a whole cap of one of those, and you could swap it for a towel off of another one, or a fistful of pieces for a nice big chunk of a piece of an airplane, you know, that got shot down out in the skies, you know. That was great.
Did you used to play on the bomb sites as well?
Yeah.
What would you play now? Now they'd be considered dangerous, but what did you play on a bomb site?
Always played war. I mean, nothing else could play. Couldn't play cowboys. But it was always war, them and us. And you used to build walls out of bricks and put wood up, and you could get door frames and tables and chairs out of the buildings, and you built places to hide in, and you defended your castle, you know. This was what it was all about. It was all them and us. And I never ever volunteered to be a German. Always English. Paratroopers, you know. Paratroopers or Marines. Never an ordinary service corps driver or anything. It's always glamorous. But those were fun days, you know.
Now, what about your dad? He'd been called up. What did you know about that?
Not a great deal, because I can't remember seeing Dad until
...1944. Did you miss him when he was gone? I mean, did...
No. No, I don't say that in a nasty way. I missed him because I was five when the war started. Wasn't much older when he went away, and I was away. Then I came back, and he'd gone. You know, he'd just gone to war or gone wherever. He was in Royal Army Medical Corps.
Did you follow the progress of the war as a nipper, you know, as you got older?
Pathy News was, we always had to... We went to the cinema in Ilford Lane for threepence, Saturday morning cinema. It was a film, it was called The Empire. And you got a ticket for threepence, and you got a raffle ticket and a bag of Maltesers for your 3p. And they used to draw a raffle halfway through the film. But after the draw, we got the Pathé, always the cock-a-doodle-doo, you know, this is Pathé News. And we got news late, or whatever it was, you know. And we followed it that way.
That was your main thing?
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't reading newspapers. I had no telly. But I can remember at some time, I can't remember when it was now, I think it was at the end of the war, when we had a crystal. And you could listen with the earphones and tune the radio station in on a crystal. But I do remember somewhere during the war, and I don't know whose house I was in, but they were listening to Lord Haw Haw. It's Germany speaking, and I can remember that.
Now, anything happen? Any big events? You know, I mean, any close escapes from bombs or things like that?
Well, not ordinary bombs, but if you can go past the Battle of Britain in 1944, when they started to send over the V1s and V2s, the particular day this happened, I was indoors. I'd been out cutting because the guys were away at war. We used to go around and cut people's trees, prune the hedges and things, you know, and raise a bit of cash. And we used to go around after the horses and carts and pick up the dung and sell that for manure for rose beds and all that lot, which was fascinating. We had, I was standing in the living room counting my money I'd earned during the day, and my mum and brother were just going out to the shelter. And we had 8 steps that went down to the back garden. They were on the top step, just going to go down. And we had by the side of the house a wall like this shape with a curved bit over an arched door. And then it continued to the bottom of the garden. The warnings had gone off from the factory long, long time before that doodlebugs were in the area.
This V1 then?
This V1. And the all clear had gone. So people were moving about, doing all things. The only way I can describe it is I heard what I would hear like now. It was an underground train coming through a tunnel. And it was rushing and rushing and rushing nearer and nearer. And I stood by the back window looking out into the garden, and I was listening. I wondered, what on earth is it? Anyway, it was a doodlebug. And it passed in front of me, and it where the wall went like that, the wing touched it, and it spun it into the road. And after that, there was an enormous explosion and light, a brilliant mauve and white light. And the next thing I knew, I was underneath a big gate leg table in the house. And I don't know, 18, 20, 50 tons of house was on top of me. And I was underneath the table. If you look closely, these are some of the
Scars on your
face, yeah. So, but I was underneath there. And
were you conscious or unconscious?
I was awake. I was awake, and I knew I was wet, and I thought, well, I must be sweat. But it was bleeding all over. Anyway, I sat there for a little while, totally in the black, in the dark, and I could hear the gas hissing where the parts had snapped, and I could hear all the water running where the water was being fed into the house and running everywhere. And my main thought then was, it's going to catch light or I'm going to drown. And I sat there for quite a long while. Now, I mean, I could hear the fire brigade come in because they used to ring bells then. The guy used to hang outside the window and clang the bell. And I could hear ambulances because they had a different tone of ring. And I know they were coming to where I was.